It's such a delight to be here. It sure is. You would open your Bible, I think, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse 27. Read verses 27 down through verse 31. I'm going to be looking at several other scriptures, but I want us to begin here in Matthew. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Here we have these two blind men following our Lord, and as many other instances we have where sinners cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." They were blind. They never saw any physical miracles, not with their physical eyes. But we see that the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And our Lord asked them this question, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?"
Amen. Yeah.
This right here. And that's what I want us to look at this evening, is God is able.
Amen.
God is able. How were these men convinced that he was able? This doesn't grow in natural hearts. By nature, we're still filled with unbelief.
Yeah.
Still filled with unbelief. But he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Faith cannot be hid. It must be manifested.
They came
because there was a need.
Yes.
They had been drawn by his grace, and they followed him, and they came to him. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 3:20. Listen. "Now unto him that is able to do." What is he able? He's able to do. Whatever he wants to do, he's able to do it.
Yeah.
But listen, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly.
Yes.
You just imagine anything that you could imagine that God could do, he can do exceedingly abundantly.
Yes.
Above all that we could ever ask or even think.
Yeah.
He says, "I'm able." According to the power, now what's this, that worketh in us.
Yeah,
it's his power, his grace, his mercy.
Yeah.
But he gives sinners faith to believe and to believe that he's able. God is able to work out and to accomplish what he is able to do. Isaiah 14:24, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, as I have purposed, so shall it stand. The gods of this world, they are not able to do."
Right.
They're only able to do what men allow them to do. They can't do, but he can. Because it says in Deuteronomy, their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judged, they'll tell you that their God is not like your God. When you tell them about our God who is able to do anything that he wants to do, they say, "Hold on now, my God's not like that." And that's right, he's not. And they will tell you so. Their rock is not like our rock. "For their vine is the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons. and the cruel venom of asp. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips. Their God is not able to do. And this is where we live today. This, like that scripture you read, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. And has he revealed? He's revealed as another Jesus, a spirit of Antichrist, who sets up himself that he's God, and he's no God because he can't do. God is able. But the God we hear today, preached in the name of God, is not God, because he's not able. Why would anyone call on a God that cannot do as he pleases? But these blind men came to our Lord, and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And that's a question we ought to ask all of our hearts. Do we believe? Do we believe? Do I believe that he is able to do this? Whatever I ask you, do I believe that he's able to do this? And I don't understand all this. But he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Yeah. The woman just prior to this, the woman with the issue of blood came and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Thy faith hath made you whole. And then before that, remember Jairus' daughter, he was going to Jairus' house when the woman with the issue of blood came. And in Luke 8 it said, before they got to the house, they met our Lord and they met Jairus and they said, don't bother him, she's already dead. And our Lord turned and looked at him and said, only believe. She's dead. She's dead. Don't bother him. She's dead. It's too late. No, he's able.
He's able.
You believe? She said, just believe. Just believe. Let me describe their gods as they are described in Psalms 115, beginning in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
Then he describes their God, their idols, their rock. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their voice. And they that make them are like unto them.
Amen.
So is every one that trusteth in them.
Amen.
Doesn't that describe them?
Yes, sir.
But God tells us before what he's going to do, and then he does it. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure.
Amen.
We need to read that all the time.
Yeah. That's
right. Amen.
I'll do all my pleasure.
Yeah.
God doesn't ever need to go back to plan B or plan C.
That's right.
This is what he purposed before the world was made in the covenant of grace. And everything that's happening today and even happening right now is happening according to his good pleasure.
Amen. That's right.
He's able to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Year ago, I'd have told you it's crazy if you'd ever found me in West Virginia. That's right. God is able to do. He is. Isaiah 46:11, I have spoken it and I will bring it to pass.
Yes.
I have purposed it and I will do it.
Amen.
Who can stop God?
Yeah.
God is able. I'll give you a couple things that God is able to do. It says in Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save to the uttermost, and that means completely.
Amen.
He didn't save you partially and then leave part of it up to you.
Right.
Justification, The sanctification and the glorification is all up to him.
Amen.
And he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that he cannot hear. He's able to save. He's going to save every single one of his children, every one of them.
Amen.
There's not going to be a one lost. He's able to save. Now, I know many times we may doubt it. We may not see a lot of evidence, but his arm is not shortened. Nobody can cut his arm off. Said also in Isaiah 51:3, we ask this a lot of times, who hath believed our report? He asks two questions, and he answers the first question with the second question. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Yeah.
All that he reveals his arm, his sovereign, omnipotent arm, they will believe. And they
Amen.
Will believe what? This report. And every time the gospel's preached, we are just declaring a report of something, not that you do, but something that's already done.
Amen.
It's done.
Yeah.
That's the gospel.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yes.
It's done. So he's able to save. And John, when he was looking at those Pharisees, when he was standing in the Jordan River that day, and he said, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. They said, oh, we're Jews. We're Abraham's children. Surely he just ought to show us favor.
Mm-hmm.
He says, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
Right.
He can raise up them from dead stones.
Right.
Them old Gentile dogs.
Yeah.
He raised up from them stones
Amen.
A people who were children of Abraham by faith.
Yeah.
He's able.
Yeah.
He's able.
Yeah.
And he does. In Romans chapter 11, writing to those Romans, he talks about where he'd cut off the natural branches. And then he said, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft him in again.
Amen.
He said, if you were a wild olive branch, were grafted in, who are against nature, were grafted in, he's able to graft them in.
Right.
And then it goes on to say, all Israel are going to be saved. But when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, all his is coming in, all the Israelites.
Right.
He's able.
Yeah, he's able.
I saw my grandpa do some grafting when I was a little boy. He had an old apple tree. I don't know what it originally was. It maybe been a Golden Delicious or something. But he had 5 different grafts in that one apple tree. And it bore 5 different kinds of apples. He'd cut that limb off, that natural limb, and he'd cut it back, and he'd stick another limb in from another tree, and he'd wrap it in beeswax, and it would take forth life. Boy, isn't that a picture?
Yeah.
You know what God did for you? God grafted.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He grafted you in.
Yeah,
that's right.
What he did.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you bring forth fruit.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he's able, if he wants to graft every one of them in again.
Right. That's
that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's able.
Yeah.
Well, I love this one. Abraham believed. Our Lord made reference to Abraham many times. Paul made reference to him many times. He believed God.
Yeah,
this is what it says. Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. And you remember Sarah said, Sarah laughed.
Yeah.
You would have laughed too.
Yeah, I would.
And she said, no, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yes, you did. But you know what God did? God gave him a child.
Yeah.
God promised it to him. And the longer it seemed like God waited, the older they got. Till they got to the place where said, if we have a child, God must give us one. But he said he considered not his own body now dead. When he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform.
Amen.
Isn't that faith?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
How are we gonna have a child? God promised it.
Yeah.
And what he promised, he's able to perform. We make promises and we can't keep them.
Sure.
When you ask me if I'd come preach, I say, yeah. That's kind of a promise. But they could have been something happening, I couldn't have come.
Sure.
But God never makes a promise he can't keep.
Amen.
That's right.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Yeah.
Okay, God gave him a son. This promised child. Can you imagine how he loved him?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah said, Abraham, do you ever think we'd have a child?
Yeah.
And now God says, Abraham, you take your son, your only son, that promised child, and you offer him up.
That's what he said.
Now this is where faith is tried.
There you go.
God told you he's going to have a son, and God said that seed, talking about Christ, is going to come through here. That's what he was looking at. That's what he was looking to.
Yeah.
So how is he going to come if I offer him up? How can this be? How can this be? Hebrews 11 verse 17. By faith.
Yeah.
Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Listen to this. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a future.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe God's able to raise that child? He believed he is able. Go back and read the story in Genesis 22. It says when Abraham and Isaac and the servants, they're going toward Mount Moriah, and he says, servants, you all stay here. He said, me and that boy, we're going to go worship.
Right.
And we're coming again.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Both of us.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
God give me that faith.
Yeah, because
I read that and I just want to hang my head.
Yeah.
He believed God.
Yeah.
Arthur Pink said, it is our meditation upon God's sufficiency that the heart is quietened and faith is established.
Yeah.
Meditate upon what? God's sufficiency.
Yeah.
He's able. Paul, writing his last letter to that young preacher, Timothy. He said, Timothy, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power and the love and a sound mind. And he goes on to say, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Not what I have believed, but whom I have believed.
Amen.
And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Someone said we have an example here of real faith. We have knowledge, and you must know who God is. God must reveal himself to you before you can ever believe in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how can they believe in a God they've never heard? They can't. We have knowledge. We have confidence. Then that's something, confident. And then we have commitment.
Yeah.
Where there's knowledge, true knowledge when God has taught a sinner who he is and he teaches you who you are, that it's not your ability, but it's his ability.
Yeah.
And he gives you the confidence to believe him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then you commit your only son, the dearest thing to your heart, to him, because it's his anyway.
Yeah.
In that little book of Jude, he talks about the Adam that fell. In innocency, he fell. The angels fell, who kept not their first estate. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. He's able to keep you from apostatizing.
Yeah.
God sends people strong delusions and they believe a lie.
Yeah,
and if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect.
Right.
But why don't you?
Exactly.
Why aren't you? It's not your ability. It's because he's able to keep you from falling. And then one day, to present you faultless.
Amen.
He's able. He's able. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. I want to show you these three illustrations I found here in that book. We're going to begin in chapter 3, where God was able. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had made his big idol, his big image, and commanded everybody to bow down and worship his God. But there were certain Jews, beginning in verse 12, who thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true? In verse 14, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? He said, maybe you just didn't hear right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I really hear right? Y'all are, everybody else is worshiping my God. Why ain't you worshiping my God? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music. Now if you fall down and worship the image that I've made, well then. And if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And look what he asked. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? There's no God, is what he's saying, that can deliver out of my hands. Because you know what he thought? He thought he was God. And this world today, they actually think that they're God.
Go ahead, brother.
Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now watch this. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Amen.
What if he doesn't deliver you? That's a different story. They said if God wants to, he's able.
Amen.
And if he don't, it's not because he's not able.
Right. There you go.
God, he has something else in store. There something else in plan.
Right.
He'll deliver us out of your hands one way or the
one
other.
Way,
Amen.
Whatever way he sees fit to bring honor to his name, that is what he's able to do. And you know, read the rest of the story. They commanded him, they turned the furnace up seven times hotter. He said he took the mightiest man in his army and said, cast them in the fire. And it was so hot it burned them up. But those three men fell down in the midst of that fire, and they were bound. But when they were in the flames, it burned off what bound them. He said, didn't we throw three men in?
That's right. Yeah.
He said, I see four men.
Yeah.
And the fourth is likened to the Son of God.
Amen.
What do we learn from that? God is able to be with you in the midst of the fire. Can you not see as they begin to bind you with the ropes? And they say, we'll give you one more chance now. Now you can recant. And all you got to do is just bow.
Sure.
Just one little compromise.
Yeah,
you
ahead.
Can get over it, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, they couldn't.
That's right.
Yeah, right. They couldn't.
If he don't deliver me, we're still not bowing.
Amen.
That's right.
We're still not bowing.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know why they didn't bow? Because he's able.
Yeah.
Amen.
It wasn't their faith in themselves or their strength. It was their faith in their God. Did he deliver them? Oh, yeah, he did. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through great sorrow, but all through the blood.
Amen.
He's able. The next chapter over, you know, you would have thought when Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man in the fire, mm-hmm. and he said, one likened to the Son of God, you thought something would have happened to this man. But it didn't.
No, it didn't.
He walks to his palace one day and he said, oh, look what all I've done. Look at this great empire that I've built. But you know something I see here? God allowed this man, this king right here, to march into Jerusalem and destroy that temple.
Sir,
he did.
Yeah.
And bring them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, to that wicked place called Babylon.
Right. Yes,
and when he took those men, God took the gospel to that place.
He did.
Yes, sir. That's exactly
right. That's right. Yeah.
Babylon, mystery Babylon. Mm-hmm. Is God in that place? Yeah, God's able.
That's right. He's
able.
Yeah.
Listen, the king spake and said in verse 30 of chapter 4, is not this great Babylon that I've built for the house of the kingdom by my might and by my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour the thing was fulfilled.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar, this great king, gone. He was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. A raven maniac.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason you have any sanity today is because God allows you to have it.
Right.
What you call your kingdom, God can strip it from you at the snap of a finger. God said, you mighty monarch, I'm taking it from you. Because it's all mine. It ain't yours.
Amen.
You're just a puppet.
Amen.
And God told him. God's going to teach him. How did he teach him? He put him in the dirt.
Yeah.
You know how God teaches us that he's sovereign? He'll put you in the dirt.
Right.
Amen.
Like you ever felt like you was going crazy? Read on. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven. Everybody'd say, okay, I agree with that right there. He can do whatever he wants to in the armies of the heavens. But he goes on. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, why do you do this? God can do anything he wants to, and he's right in doing it because he's God.
Amen.
And God taught this man this.
Yes, he did.
Taught him.
Amen.
And we have to be taught this over and over and over again. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and the brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praised and extolled and honored the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his judgments, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase.
Amen.
That Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, said, if I find any Christians, I'll kill every one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love for with he loved us, he put him in the dirt.
Yeah, that's right.
God is able
Amen.
To abase.
Yes, sir.
You haughty, proud, self-conceited sinner.
Yeah.
He is able.
Yeah.
To abase. He is. Because God is the only one that can teach you humility. I think humility is nothing more but recognizing who's God.
There you go.
And you ain't God. Chapter 6. Darius. You know, even in between this one is Belshazzar. You remember he thought, well, go send for the golden goblets. Bring them in here. Oh, we're going to have us a time tonight.
Oh,
we'll show them who's God. And there was a little writing on the wall. It said, you've been waiting in the balance. And you've been found wanting. And this night your kingdom shall be taken from you. And he died that night. Then God raised up the Medes and the Persians. God gives it to whom he will.
Right. That's right.
These men hated Daniel. They knew Daniel served God, and they tricked Darius into making a decree of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be broke, that if anybody prays to another god for 30 days, if we catch anybody praying to another god within 30 days, you'll be cast into a den of lions. So all Daniel's got to do is just not pray for 30 days. And they go to his house, and he does as he always did. He prayed with his eyes toward Jerusalem. That ain't some just holy land. That's where the mercy seat's at. He's praying toward the mercy seat. And they came in and they told Darius, aha, we caught him. And you can't change your law. He's got to be cast into the den of lions. And Darius tried his best to get him released, and he couldn't, because God's law cannot be broken.
There you go. Yeah,
and God would not bend his law even for his own son.
Right, that's right. Right. For his
when
own
he
son.
Was made sin for us, right. Who knew no sin.
Yeah.
But Darius, he wrung his hands all night long, and he gets up, and it says, when he came to the den, verse 20, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Is he able? Isn't that amazing? In three, just in that one book, those three illustrations, God illustrates over and over and over again that he's able.
Yeah.
Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has seen his angel, and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And I tell you this, when our Lord had fulfilled all the demands of the law, you know what they did? They had to bring him out of the den
That's
right.
And turn him loose.
Yeah.
No manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God.
Yeah.
And this last one. Our Lord Jesus Christ is able to succor us.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Hebrews 2 verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliations for the sins of the people. But in that he himself has suffered, being tempted. Who was in the fire? He was.
Right.
Who brought him out of the den of lions? He did.
Yeah.
He was made a little lower than the angels.
Right.
He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
He sat on the well with the woman of Samaria because he was weary. The man came and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.
Amen.
Have you ever felt alone? He knows what it is to be alone.
He does.
Yes, sir.
When the Father forsook him and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he hath been where we are, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to help in time of need, to sympathize with. You know, something tragic happens and we go to the funeral home or whatever, and we want to be able to say something. And if you've ever been there, you can just in a little bit sympathize and say, well, I've been there. I know what that's like. He says, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He is able.
Yeah. Yes.
When you can't and nobody else can.
Right.
He said, I'll send another comforter, and he's able. When Job lost everything, when Job lost all of his children, 10 at one time, and even his wife said, why don't you just cuss God and die?
Right. That's right. Right. Yeah.
The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Said, how could any man make those statements? God's able. And you know when you find out that he's able? When you're in those times. When you're in the furnace. When you're in the lion's den.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
He will teach you. And he has to keep teaching us.
Yeah,
that he's able.
Yeah,
Abraham had come through a lot of trials before God said that day, okay, now you take your son, your only son, and you go offer him unto me. And he believed he is able.
Yeah.
Boy, I wished I could believe that.
Yeah.
To really believe that God is able. Amen.
Amen.
Brother.